From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. It's tough to get a handle on how many Americans suffer concussions. The Federal Centers for Disease Control estimates anywhere from 1.6 million to 3.8 million sports-related concussions occur every year. And of particular concern are concussions among children, roughly 500,000 annually. The worry about kids, that developing brains take more time to recover than adults, and that the long-lasting effects of these brain injuries may be greater. Now a bill in the New Hampshire legislature aims to address this issue. It requires coaches to pull a high school athlete from play if a concussion is suspected. But it doesn't apply to non-school youth leagues like Pop Warner football or those programs run by town recreation departments. An amended version of this measure soon will go before the state Senate. The bill comes as concussions are getting more attention in the Granite State from schools, coaches, parents, and doctors, all concerned that the desire to play and win be tempered with smart decisions about kids' health and safety. Today in The Exchange, the discussion about concussions in the Granite State. Let's hear from you. Do you have personal experience with this issue of children and head injury? Do you think coaches and kids themselves are aware enough of the risks, or should more attention be paid to this issue? And is it possible to go overboard with worry about concussions? Give us a call. Tell us what you think. The Exchange number, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR, or send us a short email, the address exchange@nhpr.org. We have two guests for the hour. Kevin O'Brien is here, athletic director for Merrimack Valley High School and Division II president of the New Hampshire Athletic Directors Association, a group of school athletic directors with 24 schools in that division. And Kevin, good to see you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Joining us by phone is Dr. William Storo, pediatrician at Dartmouth Hitchcock Pediatrics. He'll be presenting at the Concussion Awareness Program, co-sponsored by Dartmouth Hitchcock Concord and the Concord Family YMCA on May 22nd. If you want more information on that, by the way, go to our website, nhpr.org. And Dr. Storo, great to have you too. Thanks for giving us your time.
Thank you so much for having me, Laura.
Well, and give us, Dr. Storo, if you could please, just your basic definition of what a concussion is.
A concussion is a type of brain injury that changes the way the brain normally works. It's caused by a bump, blow, or jolt to the head that causes the head and brain to move back and forth rapidly. It does not have to be caused by the head being struck. It could be just the head moving rapidly in space, as in a car accident and your head bobs forward. And as you mentioned, children and adolescents are most at risk for concussion injury.
Because the brain is still developing.
Absolutely.
You know, Dr. Storo, I've heard concussion described as traumatic brain injury. And I read somebody make the case that we should call these traumatic brain injuries because right now we say, it's just a concussion. What do you think?
Yeah, they are considered mild traumatic brain injuries, although some aren't so mild as you can imagine and probably heard stories of. They are a brain injury, absolutely. And if you go to the CDC website, which, by the way, has great materials for parents and coaches and even providers to access, cdc.gov, lots of good information on concussion and what to do about them, what to watch for.
What are some of the immediate symptoms, Dr. Storo? And here's the problem with concussions, which I'm sure we'll talk about. Some of the symptoms kick in later, right?
That is true. In the old days, we primarily cared about loss of consciousness, headache, nausea, vomiting, and memory loss. That's about all we really paid attention to, not fully aware that there are a lot more symptoms that concussion can show, such as blurred vision, drowsiness, distractibility, feeling in a fog, things like being irritable, personality changes, sadness, sensitive to light and noise, fatigued, slowed down, ringing in the ears, seeing stars, excessive or less sleep. So as you can see, there are a lot of symptoms that can be related to a concussion.
Well, and depression from what I've heard, too.
Absolutely. As I mentioned, irritability and personality change, depressive symptoms, anxiety. Now, not everyone needs all of those symptoms to be a concussion, and having those symptoms doesn't mean you had a concussion. But if you had some sort of head injury, combined with the development of those symptoms right afterwards, you've likely had a concussion.
Well, and Kevin, I want to bring you into this. And most people hear concussion and they say football. What other sports, though, see high rates of concussion, Kevin?
Well, currently the most recent data is that female soccer is growing by the numbers. And most of the reports that we have on that is due to the structure of the neck. as Dr. Story already mentioned, isn't just about the it's about how the neck responds even when you're heading a ball and you might not take direct contact to it. It's the neck structure that female athletes have, and so it's become the largest growing concern. I think obviously, as you said, everybody thinks football first, but it's a major concern in high school and collegiate athletics and professional athletics right now.
Yeah, I read a headline about the crisis in girls soccer concerning concussions. Is that an overstatement, Kevin?
I don't think so. I think that a year ago I was on your show and we mentioned that things that we didn't know about, I guess we can forgive ourselves for. But currently we have current data and much information on it. And it is a problem that's happening, and we're seeing it happen in our high school sports. The other thing, too, is that by educating the students, they're more apt to tell us what's going on with them. The days of don't worry about it, we don't even use terms like you got your bell rung or this or that anymore. Those things are very inappropriate. At the time, 15 years ago, that's what everybody called it, but today it's very inappropriate. Nobody uses those terms anymore. And I think that by educating the students, it isn't just about educating the parents or the coaches or teachers or whoever is working with children. It's about the kids recognizing how important it is. And I know that at our school and many other schools, we make that a major emphasis with the kids.
Well, and that's a great point. I mean, sometimes people say, well, coaches need to keep an eye on this. But sometimes, I've got kids who play sports and they're dedicated and they want to win. And I'm imagining, Kevin, that sometimes they say, no, coach, I'm fine.
There's no question about that. Most schools have a trainer, a certified athletic trainer. 10 years ago, many schools didn't have one. Today, our school has one. Many schools haven't. Public schools or private schools who put themselves at a great risk, in my opinion, not having an athletic trainer. We're at the games. They're at the games. Recognize something. They're trained to pick up on this. All the coaches in the NHIAA have had to take an online workshop or have go to workshop for recognizing concussions and making a big part of what we do in terms of athletics.
And Dr. Sturrow, Kevin's given us a couple really interesting comparisons to how we used to view concussions, how we used to talk about concussions, how we used to approach concussions. What would you say, Dr. Sturrow, in terms of what we used to know, how we used to approach this 10, 15 years ago, as Kevin said, versus today? What's changed?
Well, many things have changed. Our understanding of what are the big risks is the biggest change. The NFL finally came out with a few years ago saying that concussions are bad for you. Obviously, we knew that for a while. It took the NFL a long time to come around, and they actually trying to partner with all states, as you mentioned, the legislation trying to be enacted in New Hampshire. They're trying to partner with all states to enact legislation to help protect children from concussion. But the big change being knowing that too many concussions is bad for us. It can cause early onset dementia, Alzheimer's-like changes, Parkinson-like changes, as well as something called second impact syndrome, which is very rare. It's what we all worry about in the concussion field, that you get hit too soon after your first concussion, and you can have a catastrophic brain injury and even death. Every year, one or two teenagers typically, often football players, sometimes soccer, but one or two teenagers a year in the United States die of second impact syndrome, getting hit too soon after their first concussion and having a catastrophic outcome.
What about sub-concussions, Dr. Storr? I've heard about that, too. That's relatively new.
There is growing information that multiple hits to the head that don't even present as concussive symptoms are, in the long run, not likely very good for our brain. And so all these sub-concussive hits, as you mentioned, accumulate over time. And there are schools that are actually making changes based on that knowledge. There are a lot of colleges that are having no-hit practices, one or two no-hit practices a week. So they're reducing by 20, 30, 40% the amount of hits their players are taking, because everyone thinks of gameplay, but in practices, people are taking hits as well. And so sub-concussive hits in the long run can be very damaging. We don't know those who will be at risk for damage. There are athletes who get hit in the head many times and don't appear to have any significant injury over the years. But there are some athletes who have one or two hits and have significant injury. We don't know what's protective and what is going to be putting athletes at risk.
Our number here in the exchange for you to join us is 1-800-892-6477. If you have personal experience with this issue of children and concussions, give us a call. Tell us what you think. Do you think that coaches and kids themselves are aware enough of the risks? Does the drive to compete sometimes override the athlete's best interests? Also, is it possible that we might go overboard with worry about concussions to the point where parents won't let their kids get out and be active? Tell us what you think. The exchange number, 1-800-892-6477. And both of you, let's go to the phones now. And Scott's joining us from Amherst. Hi, Scott. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Thanks. I think that everybody is going overboard. I think that if somebody broke their finger and had a cast on it, then why not eliminate them from play at all? Or if they stubbed their toe and they now have a sprained ankle, or, you know, I mean, you're taking an injury and you're saying, okay, the parents and the coaches don't have the smarts to know when they should be careful, and you're saying the state is going to take over.
And this gets into the bill that we'll be talking about. Yeah, in a minute. Yeah. Scott, hang on if you could. What do you think, Kevin? I mean, we'll talk about the bill in a minute, but this idea of maybe we're getting too wimpy here and we don't need to worry so much about it.
Well, I think that, you know, there was a time that we thought that, and, you know, we're of the opinion that, you know, the brain is a precious organ. And what we don't know, what we didn't know in the past about the results of the trauma when someone takes a shot to the head, as many people will say, you know, creates things that affect kids in the academic setting. I know that when kids have had concussions, we have to remove them from we don't have to, but it's the most prudent thing to do to remove them from academic testing. With the impact testing that we do on each kid to get a baseline, and then after they have a concussion, we see the new results from it. It's stunning where their reaction time is and their cognitive thinking, and it's just amazing to us versus and I certainly respect the caller's position on it, but versus a broken hand or a broken finger. We don't know how it's – every day we're learning more and more how it affects the brain. I would say that this would be a playoff. One of the NHIA's slogans is about sportsmanship, promoting sportsmanship. It says winning is for a day, sportsmanship is for a lifetime. In other words, don't sacrifice your integrity to win a game versus about how you're going to be. I would say that a new slogan would be something like this: winning is for a day, your life is for a lifetime. Right. And be able to look, you know, towards the future about how it affects somebody down the road.
Well, Scott, thank you for joining us. And we'll take more of your calls after a short break, so keep it right here.
Good morning, it's 9:19, and support for NHPR comes from UR members and from Jaguar Exeter. Serving New Hampshire and Vermont, featuring the redesigned 2012 Jaguar XF, an innovative blend of design and technology, online at jaguarexeter.com. From Dartmouth Hitchcock, providing online health tools and podcasts for a healthier New Hampshire, information at dartmouthhitchcock.org. And from New Hampshire Catholic Charities, bringing hope and renewal to the poor and vulnerable throughout our state, transforming lives and strengthening families, information at nh-cc.org. More on tackling concussions head-on the exchange on NHPR, and at 10 on the Diane Rehm Show, concerns about hydraulic fracturing and the Marcellus Shale. New Hampshire weather today, mostly cloudy, could see some breaks of sunshine from time to time across the state. A few showers or a thunderstorm also possible this afternoon. Highs today from 70 to 75 degrees. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, growing awareness of concussions in youth sports. We invite you to join us with your questions or personal experiences with this issue. Join us, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR, or send us a short email, the address exchange@nhpr.org. Our guests are Kevin O'Brien, Athletic Director for Merrimack Valley High School and Division II President of the New Hampshire Athletic Directors Association. Also with us, Dr. William Storo, pediatrician at Dartmouth Hitchcock Pediatrics. And with us now on the phone is Senator Matt Hood. He's a Democrat from the Upper Valley and primary sponsor of SB 402, which addresses concussions in youth sports. And Senator Hood, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Nice to be here. Thanks, Laura.
Well, first of all, just tell us what your original bill did and what prompted you to introduce it.
Sure. The original bill would have, and I'm just going to excuse myself for 1 second, I'm getting a little feedback. The original bill would have required school districts to work to implement NHIAA requirements, recommendations, with respect to concussion management. It would have applied itself to all the bill would have been applicable to all youth sports, so anyone under the age of 18, and would have required removal from play if suspected concussion.
And what prompted you, Senator Hood, to introduce this bill, which, by the way, congratulations, it's one of the few bipartisan pieces of legislation that we've seen this year.
Thank you. I'm delighted with the House action on 402, and will encourage the Senate to concur with their recommendation. The kind of increased awareness of the issue of concussions overall, I would say, played an important part. But also there were some individual stories of parents of students who reached out and said, look, my daughter, in this particular case, had suffered repeated concussions, and it's affected her in the classroom, affected her ability to participate in sports, and we really have to do something about raising the awareness of this issue and the risks that it entails.
Now, as you said, Senator Hood, originally your bill covered both school sports and all youth sports. The House took that out. They thought it was, as one House member put it, an overextension. What do you think about that? Is that a watering down?
Well, in the legislative process, sometimes you have to move incrementally. And I am delighted, as I said, to have an incremental step in this direction, which is to say, you know, in statute now, you have a requirement to remove from play when there's a suspected concussion. I know that the NHIAA is doing terrific work with educating children and parents about the risks, and that they'll continue to do that. So I view this as a real positive first step.
So this bill requires schools to follow, again, the New Hampshire, Interscholastic Athletic Association recommendations, making those a requirement concerning concussion management.
That's how the bill was initially introduced in the Senate, and the House changed it to encourage school districts to adopt those policies and increase education and awareness. So
Okay. My
sense is, notwithstanding the reduction to encouraged as opposed to requirement, you know, the NHIAA, again, is a member organization and has requirements for member schools to participate. And so I believe that will continue to be the case.
So, and am I correct, Senator Hood, that, again, you originally wanted this to cover all youth sports. The House changed it to cover just school sports in high school, grades 9 through 12. Is that right?
That's correct.
Yeah. And again, disappointed, but fine with the changes. As you said, we look for change incrementally.
Yes. I mean, I think that's exactly right, Laura. Of course, I would have wanted a more expansive coverage, but as a first step, I think 9 through 12 is a great first step.
What do you think the Senate will do when it votes on this? And do you know when this is coming up for a vote, Senator Hood?
Well, as soon as we get messages from the House, we will normally send a note to the chair of the committee and the prime sponsor of bills to say, what's your recommendation? Concur, non-concur, or non-concur and ask for a committee of conference. And I will certainly weigh in that I hope we will strongly concur with the House bill.
Well, Senator Hood, good to talk to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's Matt Hood, Democratic State Senator from the Upper Valley. And as we heard, primary sponsor of SB 402, which concerns high school athletes. The number for you to join us is 1-800-892-6477. Join us with your questions, comments, personal experiences with youth and concussions, 1-800-892-6477. And Dr. Storrow and Kevin O'Brien, I did want to quickly ask you what you think about this bill. And I think to you first, Dr. Storrow, you know, as we heard from Senator Hood, he originally wanted to cover all youth sports. That got boiled down to just high school. He originally wanted the concussion management recommendations to be required. That got boiled down to encourage. What do you think?
Well, I think a couple things about this legislation. I think Scott was the caller on the phone worried about mandating medical care. And the legislation isn't to mandate medical care and the decision-making that happens about concussion. It's mandating removing an athlete for suspected concussion and making sure they're cleared before they go back. It doesn't say what that clearance contains because medical knowledge may change. So we're not trying to legislate medical care. So I think that the 9 through 12th graders is a good start, as Senator Hood spoke about. The bright side is I testified in front of the Senate that there's the trickle-down effect, that if even though your daughter may do gymnastics, your son may be on a swim team not associated with a school. If one of your kids plays soccer at school, you now are aware of appropriate treatment for concussion by having legislation like this really try to enforce schools doing the right thing when it comes to concussion. And because of that, you're going to look to your kid's gymnastics coach or swim coach and say, hey, this is what should be going on. My kid has a head injury or concussive symptoms. And so I think that is the bright side of such legislation, even when it isn't as expansive as we'd like it to be.
What do you think, Kevin?
I would agree that I think the biggest thing is about the awareness. That's the thing that I'm most pleased with. The nuances of, you know, what's going to get passed or not get passed through the House and the Senate, isn't as important to me as that, just the publicity that's gotten, the awareness that more people are talking about. And we continue to grow with this. We're not getting it completely right. You know, even at my school, we struggle with it. When should a student return? I can tell you we have so much communication with doctors now over this kind of thing than we ever had before. We certainly, each school, if they don't have one, should have a protocol. We have a protocol at our school to laying things out. All the parents are made aware of it. It's part of our interscholastic athletic agreement, et cetera, so that, you know, we've done a lot of work on it, and most schools in the state have done that. And then on the flip side, I think some legislation like this, is beyond the awareness. Some school districts would probably even appreciate a little bit to be able to maybe encourage people in the community to support them having people like athletic trainers and that type of communication. So from my perspective, it's not about stopping an athlete from playing in a game that might help you win. It's about making an appropriate assessment about someone's future and their life. And I think that's what, in the athletic world, that's what we're in the business for.
Well, and one more question, Kevin, though. The bill only now applies to grades 9 through 12. As you know, go to any field anywhere in New Hampshire on a Saturday, and it's full of kids playing in town recreation leagues and little leagues and Pop Warner and what have you. So, you're leaving out thousands and thousands of children.
Oh, there's no question about it. And, I was reading on a study that said that, it's interesting that even if you were a non-athlete and didn't play, that there's a good chance that you've had a couple of small concussions, anything from falling off the swing set to, getting in a tussle with your brother or sister or something of that nature. So it's kind of amazing that even folks that have had entered into conversation, the kids don't even play sports, have become more aware. I think it's something that's very difficult to manage. In our district and several other districts, we do impact testing, and we do that for all our athletes, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, all the way up to our middle school, too, just because we feel that that's our area. That's the thing that we're responsible, and we're trying to do the best thing that we can for our student body.
Dr. Storr, anything else to add there?
No, I think Kevin spoke well to the issue, but I do think that the increased awareness and the increased knowledge that parents will gain from their older children or children who are involved in sports that do have concussion policies will help spread. And things like this radio show, the event next week at the YMCA, trying to increase knowledge for parents and coaches and athletes about why this is important and why it is different than an ankle sprain or a toe fracture. In my sports medicine training, I was taught there are three things you never compromise on: the brain, the spinal cord, and the heart. You can live just fine with a broken toe that never healed right the rest of your life. You can't live well with a brain, a heart, a spinal cord that didn't heal right.
All right, let's take some more calls. Lots of people who want to jump in this morning. Our number, 1-800-892-6477. Christine's on the air from Milford. Hi, Christine. Thanks for waiting. Go ahead.
Hi, good morning. My comment was I have a 16-year-old daughter who has received her second impact playing sports. She plays varsity basketball. And this last one that she received was within 6 months. And she's been having a lot of trouble in the classroom since she got it 3 weeks ago. She's had a lot of problems with her cognitive thinking. And this is just such an important issue. We really need to raise awareness about it. And it's imperative that that we do the right thing as parents and in bringing our kids to the doctors to find out exactly what's going on.
So she got a second concussion, and Dr. Storrow talked earlier, Christine, about those. How did she get that second concussion? Was she put back into place too soon, or Just went back at the right time and was unlucky. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Her first concussion was back in January.
Mm-hmm.
And she actually was playing a varsity basketball game away, and we happened to my husband and I, we happened to be at that game when it happened. She actually was hit twice and blacked out on the floor.
Wow, scary.
So very scary. Had gone through all of the medical stuff that goes with having a concussion. She had to be reinstated into play after, I believe it was like 6 weeks. But she had to be zero free as far as symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
And then just received another one at varsity basketball again. And that was just at practice.
Wow. Okay.
So, I mean, I think these kids are just playing way too hard. I think that the referees have to be held accountable. The coaches need to be held accountable. And the parents need to be aware so that they can pull these kids when things are just getting too rough out there.
Christine, thanks a lot for calling. What do you think about that last point, Kevin, that they're playing too hard, they're playing too rough?
It's an interesting point. I think that the assertiveness of play at times, might lead to this. But, there would be things that if you encourage athletes to go full tilt. Now, certainly that's not, meant to be, to do anything that's inappropriate.
Not but to just, slam the other guy.
Absolutely. But to play hard. And I think sometimes, the aggressive play kind of turns into it. It's nothing inappropriate. It's nothing unsportsmanlike. But they are aggressive play. We have definitely seen an increase in assertive play from female athletes, especially in basketball, but especially in the area I keep on referring to soccer. I mean, there's been some great data about that. They're playing a more physical game, shoulder to shoulder, head to head contact with going after air balls and what have you. And I think with that comes the thing. I think part of the thing too for particularly for athletes is the right athletic training, preparing your body appropriate, as we used to say about you have to stretch appropriately before you run and things like that. I think that we strength exercises need to become more involved, especially again revolving around the neck and the upper part of your body. Obviously, the stronger the neck, if you are unfortunate enough to get a blow to it, it might help you sustain the blow a little bit better. Not that the results couldn't be the same, but it certainly would be a preventive measure that we encourage that kids to be involved with that and our coaches be involved in that.
Well, and that's real interesting. So as women have gotten more involved in sports, and that's great, it's a great development, and you see so many little girls out there with their ponytails on the soccer field, but they've gotten more physical, more aggressive in their game plan.
There's no question. I mean, it's about it. I've been at my school for 25 years, and it's not just about watching the students at my school, but it's watching other kids come and go.
Sure.
From as they visit us to play and things like that, there's no question about it. It's like that, and it's an exciting level to play minus potential injury element.
All right. Well, Christine, good luck with your daughter. Thanks for calling. Let's take another call from Milford. This is Brian. Hi, Brian. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Laura. Great show today. I just wanted to touch base regarding the concussion issue. This is so important, just like your guests are commenting, that you get the education out, that people be better educated on head injuries and whatnot, and that it's not just, hey, suck it up, take it like a man or anything like that. I'm a coach with youth football, and it's American Youth Football League in New Hampshire here. And part of the league requirements for anyone who's coaching is that they undergo training for awareness of concussions and treating concussions and dealing with that, and absolutely pulling any athlete off of the field if there's any suspicion at all that there might be a concussion, and that they cannot return until they are cleared by a doctor to say that they're absolutely okay, they've been cleared up. They go through the testing. Unfortunately, I think it's great. One of your guests mentioned how they do the baseline testing for the athletes in high school. Unfortunately, we don't do that in the youth sports. That might be something that would be a great idea to have, but I think that's something maybe family doctors should be doing with kids anyway.
Now that's interesting.
Kids playing in a yard can have a concussion.
Well, and I want to ask maybe Dr. Storer about that baseline testing. But for you, Brian, I'm glad you called since you're a coach with youth football. You said that you had to undergo training for awareness of concussions. Now, you're a volunteer, right? This isn't your full-time job, right?
That's correct. I'm a volunteer.
Like most coaches who, you know, coach any sort of rec department league or league or whatever. So what do you think about the responsibility factor, Brian, that, you know, if you put too much of an onus on these volunteer coaches, nobody's going to want to do it anymore?
Well, yeah, and you know, I think part of the training that you undergo is a protection thing that, you know, we're working to the best of our abilities, much like the Good Samaritan laws protect people when they're helping somebody who's stranded on the highway. You know, you're doing it something to the best of your ability. You know, I'm not a trained sports trainer. I'm not a doctor, but, you know, I can recognize when a kid can't count backwards from 20,
right,
you know, for more than a couple of can't pay attention, or his eyes can't follow finger motions, things like that. But if you do make it onerous on the coaches, if you do make it like, for instance, if you do make it expensive for people to undergo training, for classroom training and things like that, it is going to make it more difficult to find coaches to volunteer.
Right, and it's hard enough to already find coaches. Thanks a lot for calling in, Brian. I really appreciate it.
You're certainly welcome, Laura. Thank you.
Gentlemen, a couple questions for me that come out of Brian's call. And I guess the first one, Dr. Storo, is he mentioned the baseline testing. Now, just to let folks know, if they don't, that when your kid starts a school athletic program, he or she undergoes a baseline cognitive function test. And then if he or she sustains a concussion, you can kind of compare with normal brain function. What about our caller's suggestion, Dr. Storo, that doctors do that for all kids? Because, as we've been saying, so many kids don't play in school leagues.
I think it's a great idea. Many schools are implementing this, but not all. And so it's great for the schools that are doing it. And there are more areas that will be making available impact testing. We have that available here at Dartmouth-Hitchcock and Concord. It's available up in Lebanon at Dartmouth-Hitchcock. Across the street at Concord Hospital, it's available. Down in Merrimack with a sports med doc, with a physiatrist in town. So it's available at places that you could go. It's relatively inexpensive for baseline testing. It's not covered by insurance. And post-concussive testing is covered by insurance typically because you've had an injury and insurance company is willing to pay. So that's where it stands. It's becoming more available, and I think it's great if people want to do it. It may eventually become the standard for physical exams for sports and even non-sports because, as Kevin mentioned, you can get a concussion without playing a sport.
All right, and we will take more of your calls after a short break, so stay with us.
How about a romantic getaway this summer? When you make a donation to NHPR today to support all the great news and discussion you hear every day, you'll be automatically entered to win this week's prize, a two-night stay for two at the Notchland Inn, surrounded by 780,000 acres of White Mountain National Forest. Plus, you'll get a White Mountains Attractions Value Pass. You can find out just how far that'll take you at nhpr.org. And while you're there, make a donation.
This is NHPR, where support comes from you, our members, and from Dre Lynn from Cirque du Soleil, coming to Manchester with a fusion of East and West. Opens May 30th at Verizon Wireless Arena. Tickets at CirqueDuSoleil.com. And from Associated Radiologists, Physician Specialists in Diagnosis through Medical Imaging at Southern New Hampshire Medical Center and Overlook Medical Park. Good morning, it's 9:40. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, kids and concussions. A bipartisan State House bill looks at how best to protect young athletes. We've been looking at that and taking your questions, comments, personal experiences with concussions and youth sports at 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange at nhpr.org. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477. And Kevin O'Brien, just one more question for you, please, coming out of our last caller. He was a volunteer football coach, Brian, with youth football, not school football. What about the question that some in the NFL are asking now, that football is just being played too big, too hard, and that we need to change the rules?
I think that you're, my, uh, my estimate on is that, that down the road, particularly in the high school or middle school level with those severe contact sports, you'll see rule changes. Education is very important, and we'd like to believe that everybody can just go on the education. What has an impact on the field would be some type of a more severe consequence for tackling a certain way, using your head. Obviously, those rules are already in tune with everything. You're not allowed to lead with your head. But there'll be things like that that I really believe that there'll be major penalties. I don't know, maybe like a 25-yard penalty if someone gets, does something that's inappropriate like that. And I think that that will send a message. I think there's a chance that you might see down the road soccer players having to wear the impact band. That it's an impact. It looks like a headband. There's different styles, but it looks like an impact. I was discussing that with some soccer coaches the other day, and of course they've played soccer for a long time, and they said, geez, it would really affect the way that kids would direct the ball with their head and take away from the game. And that might be a little bit true, but, having been in athletics for a long time, I remember the days when high school hockey players did not have to wear a face shield. And,
wow.
And they used to get cut in the face. It wasn't that long ago, in the early 70s. We certainly remember where field hockey players did not have to wear any face protection. And they have to now, after kids got stitches and things, and now they have to wear the mask around their eyes. And amazingly, they still continue to score, perform, and break records for those who would look at them as restraints. I don't look at it as restraints. We're still breaking records, so I'm not so sure. We have to progress. As the sports progresses, we need to progress with our ability to protect the kids.
All right, let's take another call. This is Claire in Hollis. Hi, Claire. Go ahead. You're on the exchange.
Hi. I have a little different take on this, and that is, why can't we get joy out of the skill that these kids and professional athletes have in passing the ball, in catching the ball, in kicking the ball? And I believe that if we take the aggression out of it and the skill improves or stays as it is, that you'd have another appreciation of the game itself without all the aggression. We watch golf. It's about the most non-aggressive game there is, and yet we're looking at the skill that the player has. And I think that we can take the aggression out of it, and still, I heard on TV, nobody will watch the football games. I disagree. I think that if the skill level is what's accentuated, that is the key. We did not let our son, who was a gifted athlete, play hockey nor football because he was so aggressive that I thought he would either kill someone or someone would kill him.
Wow.
I just feel that you don't. He's a very gifted athlete, and we did not allow him to play those games for his own safety and for the safety of others. So I think that we can accentuate the skill that they're playing. And if the people who are people on TV who are talking about, look at this play and look at that play, I think if they accentuate the skill of it.
Okay, Claire, thanks a lot for calling in, both of you. I think, Dr. Storr, what do you think? I mean, you're a pediatrician, but you also have three kids.
Yeah, I think it's a great thought, Claire, but I think there are a couple problems with it in that, one, there are certain sports that even demonstrating the skill puts you at risk of concussion even without being aggressive. I'll take my daughter doing gymnastics as an example. You fall off the beam of the bars and you hit your head, or a sport, bicycling. You're people who bike race, you fall off the bike. So there are still plenty of sports where there's significant concussion risk without really trying to be aggressive and tackle each other. In terms of the aggressiveness, for some kids out there, being allowed to be aggressive on a football field may save them truly from jail. That's the way they can legally use their aggression to put it to good use. And I know that sounds awful, but there are some kids out there who really are struggling and need an avenue to use all their energy and aggression. And unfortunately, football and boxing, for instance, we haven't even talked about boxing. Boxing's whole intent is to give someone a concussion, has been often the vehicle for that. Now, I do think we need to have rules, as Kevin mentioned, to try to decrease the risk of concussion, to try to minimize these illegal tackles and things like that. But I think it's tough. There are people who compare football to cockfights and things like that, that Michael Vick was put in jail for having cockfights, but he plays football, a game where we even bet on humans playing the game, who their job is to hurt each other to some extent.
Wow. Well, and I think Kevin Clare is asking a really deep, fundamental, almost philosophical question, right? About, you know, what sports really are, you know, why we watch them.
Well, I think that, you know, she makes some good points. I think it's about the education, too. I think that for our coaches, you know, we need to continue to educate the coaches and the players. I think it's also, in my opinion, the most high school, middle school kids look up to professional athletes who are involved in athletics. And if the professional athletes will take a stance on it, the recent thing in the NFL with the New Orleans Saints and the bounties on, you know, taking players out, using a term that they would you know, injure somebody to get them out of the game, because if they were in the game, they would probably beat us because of their abilities to do whatever they do.
Yeah, that's pretty shoddy, isn't
it? Well,
that's
to
poor
me,
sportsmanship with a capital
B. I didn't want
to
bring it up, but it's ridiculous as far as I'm concerned. But I think that whole that's the only way we can win, by neutralizing the opponent. That type of conversation, or you know, from the professional athletes, needs to be very clear. We're going to come in and we're going to play hard. I want people to go hard. I want them to go 100%, because I believe when you don't go 100%, there's problems. But there isn't going to be anything in sportsmanlike. Your goal isn't be out there to hurt somebody. Your goal is to play the game. And if it's done like that, we're still going to have injuries, because the magnitude. Dr. Storm mentioned even another area that there's a lot of concussions in, even with the helmets, is bike racing. Professional bicycle racing.
Well,
just biking.
School.
I mean, there's you know, you're watching the Tour de France and you see all kinds of crashes and things of that nature. And I don't think they're, I guess maybe they are trying to get position, but things happen. I do think that that's the place. For some kids, it's an outlet, the athletic piece, for their aggression. However, I think it's the responsibility of the coach to tame that and to control that. It's there for you to run hard, play hard, and do the best you can. And I think that if you're pushing it in that faction, then you have a greater chance of limiting the opportunities for kids to get hurt.
Well, Claire, I'm so glad you raised the point, because it's an underlying theme here, and it is really interesting to hear you say, Kevin, that, you know, high school coaches, the youth league coaches like Brian, who called earlier, middle school coaches, you know, I'm thinking most of them have the very best intentions and they send the right messages to the kids. But the kids are looking up the food chain, and those sometimes are not the most positive messages.
Well, I think, you know, we talk about that on a regular basis. And, you know, kids, you know, television, watching sports, you know, parents watch sports, something like that. And the message that gets seen by the said by the people that the students want to emulate is always a difficult thing to combat. It's very, very important, for that. And we've seen it with sportsmanship. We've seen it with, our students at the high school level didn't learn to trash talk. So, you know, we didn't teach that at school. They learned it from watching professional sports, in particular sports that have more opportunities to see them trash talking. And so we've had that you know, to curb that behavior. To me, the system's the same. It's just a different subject area, and it would be it's going to be great. I'm looking for professional sports, for college sports, to take it as a serious thing, and I think that will help trickle down all the way down to a young woman or a young man who's in third grade who's watching that stuff.
All right, let's take a couple more calls if we could. Becky's waiting in Henniker. Hi, Becky. Go ahead. You're on the air. Welcome.
Yes. Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I work with head injuries. I'm a physical therapist. And I don't think the general public really realizes just a mild concussion or two, how it affects your ability to, you know, balance a checkbook, make appointments, go grocery shopping. You may look fine on the outside. My other concern is that parents, you know, they might say, oh, my daughter really loves to play soccer and she's had two concussions. She's been cleared. You know, you wouldn't let your daughter smoke marijuana if she liked to do it. So you need to be the parent and step up and say, no, we're not doing that. We're going to, you know, find another way for you to be athletic. You know, if the coach isn't going to stop, you know, the heading and things like that, that may lead to the concussion.
So, Becky, sometimes you're finding the adults in a kid's life aren't saying no.
Correct. You know, they need to step up and, like I said, be the parent and say, no, this isn't good for you. You know, we need to make sure you can go to college. You know, if you get multiple head injuries, you know, concussions, you're going to have a real hard time focusing, you know, and getting through, you know, high school, you know, or college, or maintaining a job or a relationship.
All right, Becky, thanks.
It's such a broader thing here.
Bigger lifelong impacts, which our guests presented earlier. And Dr. Storrow, what do you think the adults in a kid's life need to step in and say, you know, I'm sorry you love soccer, but no.
Absolutely. They need to be willing to look at the big picture, and that you want your 11-year-old, let's say, to be able to play soccer or hockey or football next year and the year after, not just for the big game coming up this weekend. Or in a kid who's had recurrent concussions in a given sport, maybe that's not the sport for them. Maybe their body or their brain just isn't intended to play that sport. It can't sustain the trauma that's involved in it. And so we have to, unfortunately, really step up to the plate as parents, as physicians, to make those decisions for our children at times, even if it's not the one they want to hear. Because as I mentioned, you can't get through life very well without your brain.
Well, but then there's the other issue that I know you're battling all the time, Dr. Storrow, and that's childhood obesity. So it's kind of, you know, you don't want to go overboard and tell kids not to run around and play.
We want people to be active. There are plenty of activities that you can do. I mean, you can go for long walks, brisk walks, jogs, runs, riding a bike, although with a helmet. And as Kevin said, bike injuries can cause a lot of concussions. Actually, bikes are the number one cause of concussion in presentation of the emergency room. That's not because the frequency is great. It's because everyone rides a bike, and not everyone plays football. So football, you're much more likely, if you play football, to get a concussion. But because everyone rides a bike, bikes can cause a lot of concussions, too.
Thanks for the call, Becky. And let's take another one. This is Jane in Durham. Hi, Jane. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm a parent of a high school student who's had two recent concussions and has post-concussive syndrome.
Wow.
And I really think that there needs to be a lot of emphasis on global education for parents and for teachers in the high schools and even in the middle schools and parents in club sports. There's just not enough education and information out there about the difference between a one-time minor concussion, which is what people generally think, and a post-concussive symptom.
How has post-concussive syndrome just briefly affected your child, Jane? I mean, trouble concentrating?
Oh.
I mean, depression?
Yeah,
what?
Well, she went from a full academic load to one class.
Wow.
And she has therapy appointments 6 to 8 times a week. We've had to see probably 8 different specialists over the last 4 months. She's had to drop her club sport completely. It's been a huge, huge change for her.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Jane. All right. Well, good luck. And
thank you.
Boy, that's a hard story to hear, Kevin.
Yeah, we occasionally hear those stories. I think the next segment is we've dealt with this on the first round or continue to deal with it as from athletic world. At our school, we're educating the teachers. We're going to continue to educate the teachers that, you know, they say that, hey, so-and-so got hurt in the game last night and things of that nature. And then, of course, we have to wait a day to after the injury to do the second round of the testing. And then we see some of the stats and say, and of course, they would go to the doctor and say, they really need to be, their brain needs to be rested. And that's the only way. Now, it's hard sometimes to control and say, okay, so we're going to rest them in the academic field, but they're going to go home and watch, get on the computer and watch TV and all that other stuff. Well, to me, that's just that would be a poor excuse not to do our end of it. You know, we would hope the parents would be on board and say that, recognizing that they need to stay away from it, need to rest the brain. And when you do that, it gives you the greatest amount of chance. Now, that might mean postponing tests, postponing quizzes. There were many tests done with kids that on a 3 series of the SATs where you can score up to 2,400 points on an SAT, were scoring like, say, 1,850, 1,900. After a concussion, they took the exact same SAT 2 weeks later, and they on a 2,400 scale, they scored a 1,200.
Wow.
I mean, it's just amazing. And then, of course, as their brain recouped and everything like that, they were back up to their other levels. So there's a piece about it is for teachers. And, the teachers at our school are very cooperative, very great about it. But we do have to educate them, because it's a new thing. What do you mean they got hit in the head? You mean to tell me they might not be able to take a test or do reading for 2 weeks or something of that nature? And say, yeah, it's that impact. And then some of them reflect on some things that might have happened to them when they were younger and say, you know what, that kind of explains things to me when I was high school and stuff like that, and I had an injury or something of that nature. It's fascinating, in that realm. And for our school, many schools, it's pretty much this. I look at it this way. The answer is no. Your student's not going to play. And then we work backwards, massaging the parents about why. I don't work to try to give them. I say, no, this is a co-curricular activity. They're not going to play. You can tell me how important it is. You can jump up and down. You can do this. You can call whoever you want to call.
Has that happened to you?
A couple of times. But fortunately, the parents, we've been able to massage them and get them to the point where they clearly understand. It's just the overzealousness of the sport, and because it's very important to them and things like that. And certainly, as an athletic director, there's people that know me. There's nobody that likes winning better than I do. Trust me. Trust me. But I also recognize this. The other thing, too, is that is all you'd have to do. There's several shows, several webinars and things like that that you can watch. Is all you have to do is watch one or two of those, and you will go away with a different perspective. You might be not be sold on it 100%, but you will definitely go away with a different perspective on it.
Well, and Dr. Storer, for people in the Concord area, you're going to be presenting at a concussion awareness program co-sponsored by Dartmouth Hitchcock Concord and the Concord Family YMCA, May 22nd. We've got more information on that on our website. And Dr. Storer, I want to thank you very much for joining us this hour as well.
Oh, thank you, Laura.
That's Dr. William Storio, pediatrician at Dartmouth Hitchcock Pediatrics. And Kevin O'Brien, good to talk to you too. Thank you. Kevin O'Brien, athletic director for Merrimack Valley High School and Division II president of the New Hampshire Athletic Directors Association. The Exchange is a production of New Hampshire Public Radio. The engineer is Dan Colgan. Our producer is Ellen Grimm. Our volunteer is Priscilla Malcolm. We have help this week from Todd Bookman. Our intern is Samantha Johnson. Our theme music was composed by Bob Lord. The Exchange's executive producer is Keith Shields, and I'm Laura Kanoy.